What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, just one question today came in via email from Jenny. Can you recommend a Valentine's Day horror movie for those of us who hate the holiday? Well, first of all, happy Valentine's Day to anybody listening to this.
Happy Valentine's Day!
And I also understand the sentiment. I am not particularly a fan of Valentine's Day myself, never have been, much to the chagrin of my wife early on in our relationship.
Aww.
It's one of those things where it's like you think you have a good argument for it, and then you find out that you don't, and that you're wrong, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to move on. I mean, I have easy ones, so I'm not going to say them, and I'm just going to defer, like, because they're easy. I don't know. I want to see what you two come up with, because you guys' talent pool is way deeper than mine on holiday horror. So, Zena, you first.
Well, there are so many, but I only picked one, and I picked one of my favorite ones, and that's the remake of My Bloody Valentine from 2009. I just feel like it's just a solid remake. It's one of my favorite ones. And one of, like, the best remakes, in my opinion. There's love triangles, there's insane revenge, and plenty of gore. So I feel like it's a perfect watch.
It's very exploitation-y. I remember seeing this in the theater, and I hadn't seen the original. Like, I saw this for the first time. We saw it in 3D, and I remember thinking, like, this is so cheesy and... I have since rewatched it, and I enjoy it much more on rewatch. And one thing that stood out for me is how much it feels like a 3D movie shot in, like, the 70s or 80s, where they're leaning into the 3D so hard during some points, where it's like...
Which is what you want in a 3D movie.
Yeah, I'm not mad, but it was... I needed, like, context for it, too, to be like, okay, yeah, it's... Like I was saying last week with Studio 666, it's appreciating it for the feel of it instead of this is supposed to be new and updated and original and everything else. Like, no, it's not. It's supposed to be cheesy and slashery and schlocky. And it is, in a fun way. How about you, Megan?
I actually have a quick list up on Bloody Disgusting. Like every week I do streaming recs, just, you know, so obviously being a Valentine's Day. So I did, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, obviously, but for like anti-Valentine's specifically, Pontypool.
Oh, nice.
That's on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, exactly. It's set on Valentine's Day, but they have more pressing matters to attend to. So it's not really a thing that factors in other than it's super snowy. They're isolated and it's Valentine's Day. Huh. So, yeah, there's that. Another one that I thought Zena's talked about it, the movie before. It's kind of timely for Valentine's Day, but also because Cuckoo is coming out. But Luz, L-U-Z, the director of the movie that everybody's excited for, Cuckoo, Tillman Singer, this was his first movie. And it is a very interesting kind of body hopping demonic possession. It's such a unique take on demonic possession. But the motive is love. So that's why I went with that one. And then, you know, obviously a divisive choice, but I'm throwing it out there anyway because I love it. John and his wife hated it, but a crowded theater I introduced it to loved it. It's the movie that completely dropped. Oh, The Loved Ones. Yeah, The Loved Ones. It's brutal and it's very anti-love, or maybe you'll regret pursuing love watching it. I don't know. So, yeah.
It's not that we hated it. It was just way more than we expected. It was like, oh, this is a lot.
It's brutal, yeah.
It's very brutal. It was more a surprise than anything, like, whew, okay.
But that, I'm throwing that out there, though, because, you know, I recommended it, but it could have divisive reactions, so approach carefully, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, just know what you're going in for. Just know that you're going to see some stuff, and some of that stuff is going to go on for at least a few seconds longer than you think it's going to.
But you know what's funny with the character Lola? I know she was a little off, but I liked her.
She's definitely like an entertaining villain for sure.
Yeah.
She had personality. She had that, I suppose. Big feels.
To teenage angst and then some, hormones, man.
And then, I mean, my answer was My Bloody Valentine. I'll just go with the original and they're similar, not a ton, like not as much as you would think for a remake, but they're similar enough about like the premise and the bad guy sort of thing. Everything else is a little bit shifted around, but still fun watches. Still, why not? I'd watch. I mean, I think I saw both of them pop up on Tubi. I don't
probably
know.
Probably.
I would hope that some streaming platform has them available in February, but I saw them pop up not too long ago, and I still turned it on. It's still a fun watch, regardless of the time of year, especially if you don't want to think about the fact that it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Speaking of things we all like to forget about, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hi.
And you know her from her YouTube channel, website Real Queen of Horror, and infinite love for the genre, and the head of Bloody Disgusting's TikTok, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello.
Hello. And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile, too. I'll kick things off this week. I am working on another book. No, I'm not reading it. I'm listening to it. Thanks, Audible. And this is actually one that I had read before, and I cannot remember when and how I read it because I don't own this book, and I haven't rented anything from the library in the longest time, so I have no idea when I read this. But I'm in the middle of 1971's Hell House by Richard Matheson, probably also best known outside of the book Hell House for I Am Legend. Or the original I Am Legend that the Will Smith movie is based off of, that is not quite the same thing.
Has any of them, I mean, I guess some of, because there's a many movie adaptations of Richard Matheson's book, like Omega Man before that. And I think
that's right. I forgot Omega Man was.
Vincent Price version of it as well. So there's at least three adaptations out there for this book.
Yeah. So I'm listening, like I said, to Hell House. Basically, the conceit's fairly simple. It's a concept of trying to prove the existence of supernatural forces in the supposedly most haunted house in America, the Belasco House in Maine. Very atmospheric. a very of its time, we'll say. There's definitely some parts of it that that don't hold up great this day and age for some of the references and conjecture. And the audiobook does an interesting choice with a Native American impersonation at one point during a seance that was like, okay, all right, I see what you're doing here. But beyond that, it's super creepy house filled with, or that was once the site of, essentially we'll call it the 100 Days of Sodom. And yeah, and now there's ghosts and people trying
to
prove
it. Ghosts.
And now there's ghosts. It's a fun listen. You know, it's like listening. It's like a lot of formative haunted house type books that you read back then. I mean, obviously they're all very different, and Haunting of Hill House or Hell House or The Shining or any number of 100 other haunted house books. But still stands, Richard Matheson's still a really good writer, and it's still very... it definitely has a feel, like he does a really good job setting you in this place and kind of feel disconcerted the whole time. Like, this does feel weird, so, which is not easy.
Did you see the movie, like Legend of Hell House with I think it's Roddy McDowell?
Yeah, I saw that a while ago. Yeah,
so is it a pretty faithful adaptation of the book? Because the part that I remember most, I was like, what in the French toast is this? Where the one of the parapsychologists basically volunteers herself to relieve the ghost, and I was like, is this part of the book?
I'm trying to remember that part of the book, because I'm only like a third of the way through the audiobook, so I'm kind of doing a whole refresher. There is the whole concept of some pent up sexual frustration, and repression going on. That sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't want to say, oh yeah, totally, because I just don't remember.
Totally, I'm not there yet. Back. I'm very curious to see if this winds up being as horny as the movie kind of is, strangely.
Well, it was written by a guy in the 70s. And if anyone has ever read the Twitter subreddit Men Writing Women, you'll know that there's some choices.
Interesting stuff. All right.
Yeah. And then first watch for me, just seen it any number of times on Tubi, just kept going by it. 1987's Prince of Darkness. A group of graduate students and scientists uncover an ancient canister in an abandoned church. But when they open the container, they inadvertently unleash a strange liquid and an evil force on all humanity.
Dun, dun, dun.
This confused the hell out of me. Like, as I was watching to start, because Prince of Darkness, I kept thinking it was going to be a vampire movie.
It is not
a vampire movie. I also didn't realize that this was a part of John Carpenter's, what's it called, like End of Times trilogy?
It's his Apocalypse trilogy, basically.
Apocalypse trilogy, yeah. And I didn't know that was a thing, because like I said, I'd never even seen Prince of Darkness. So I didn't realize that there was that concept of this Apocalypse trilogy with The Thing, Prince of Darkness, and Mouth of Madness. Mm-hmm. And this is, it's a sort of campiness you expect from Carpenter, I think, at this time. Donald Pleasance is being Donald Pleasance. Alice Cooper, who I thought was going to have a much bigger role, who is just credited as Street Schizo.
It fits.
But it's really goopy, gross practical effects. Lots of spitting of things. Lots of weirdness. I've been kind of having a lot of fun rediscovering John Carpenter lately. That he's, I was thinking about this in terms of like Tobe Hooper or Wes Craven, where they have these iconic movies that we know them for, right? That, and we have them up on like Mount Rushmore for our horror creators, directors, writers, whatever. But there's also so many other movies that are like, oh, all right, that wasn't your best. Or I didn't even know you made that. Or I had no concept of that. So it's kind of fun discovering for the first time some of these movies that were under the radar, at least under my radar, that might be out there, someone else's favorite or important to the director in some way, shape, or form.
It's one of my favorites of Carpenter's, hands down.
Same. For me, it recently became that, because I remember when I first watched it, I was really confused. So it's definitely the type of movie that you'll have to rewatch. Because I watched it as a kid, then I watched it as a teenager, then like a couple of years ago, I rewatched it. It's just like, whoa, this is actually really beautiful.
Yeah.
But you get it.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. It's once I got past, like, it took me like halfway through to kind of be like, wait, what is happening? And like with some radio transmissions from the future and some extra dimensional type things. And then, yeah, the concept that it's not about vampires at all. Yeah, it's worth checking out for sure. It's on Tubi. I believe it's still on Tubi. If you haven't watched it and you want to kind of rediscover some John Carpenter stuff like I did, big recommend. Check it out.
Also, just as, because it's amusing to me, like, I don't know if you like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or ever watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but, you know, you've got the Hitchcock and Scully.
Yep.
And you go back into these early movies and you're like, that's Hitchcock. Hitchcock is in Prince of Darkness. He's also the neighbor in Poltergeist.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my God. He is the neighbor in Poltergeist.
Yeah.
And
he's also one of the scientists in this one.
I would never have put two and two together that was the same guy in Poltergeist, though. Like, he looks different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like 40 years younger.
I guess.
Yeah.
But like, he's not standing in a doorway eating a plate of beans, so I just didn't recognize.
Yeah. Yeah. In early horror movies, and now he's major sitcom guy.
Good for him. How about you, Megan? What'd you watch?
I guess I've kind of been like revisiting things that are kind of timely. For example, you know, Zone of Interest is making all of these waves as an Oscar nominee. Jonathan Glazer directed that, so I went back and revisited his Under the Skin, because I've seen both. And not that Zone of Interest is a horror, but it is horror of a different kind. And I'm very uncomfortable with it. And I'm like, well, you watch Under the Skin and it makes total sense why. I watched this on Max. This movie was released in 2013. And this one is Scarlett Johansson. She's like a mysterious young woman who is first seen taking clothes off of another woman who's been knocked unconscious in the back of a van. And then it's just her kind of going around and kind of collecting bodies. She's an alien. Doesn't end well for these men. And it's just a really weird, trippy kind of movie that's unsettling because of how cold and sterile it is. Mm-hmm. The way that he films it is just, I mean, and it works for Under the Skin because she is an alien with no frame of reference of humanity who is just observing with this very detached kind of curiosity. That's really haunting, especially, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's an entire beach scene that is probably one of the most uncomfortable scenes I have seen in any horror movie. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense, you know, when you revisit this, why Zone of Interest is, I mean, it's the same type of thing where it's not a horror movie, but he's filming some very historical horrors from that same sense of like detached, aloof, cold, clinical frame of reference or perspective, and it's so weird. So yeah, Under the Skin, great, because she's an alien. Zone of Interest, I understand why people love it and it's an Oscar nominee, but I'm just like, I just want aliens, guys. just give me aliens over Nazis. Yeah, so I watched that, and then we touched on it last week, but we are super amped for Long Legs, which meant that I revisited, I think it was his last movie, right, that he directed, which was Gretel and Hansel. That one released in 2020. I rented it. I rented it on Vudu. I don't think it's streaming anywhere. So yeah, VOD or physical. But that one was Osgood Perkins' twist on Hansel and Gretel, obviously, only Gretel and Hansel. So that one has Sophia Lillis from It. She is Gretel, and she's trying to take care of her younger brother, and then they stumble upon a nexus of terrifying evil, aka the Witch Hut with Alice Krieg. And it's just such a, this, like Under the Skin, I guess I went with vibe movies this week. I mean, it's not so much a story, it's not conventional narrative, it's more of like this mood and this really weird kind of fantastical world, and he just makes such gorgeous movies. So yeah, I loved it. I think I liked it more upon the rewatch, honestly.
Nice. Nice. How about you, Zena?
So I checked out Door on Screenbox from 1988. So this one is about a housewife who pretty much gets harassed by this salesman. And I love how simple the story is. I love the ending. That's when it becomes like very explosive, like where it's just kind of like
banana pants.
Yeah, pure banana pants, you know? I don't want to spoil it, so I don't want to go into too much, but yeah, as the viewer, you know, you're seeing what's happening to this woman, someone pretty much invading her personal space, and it may be triggering for some, but you know, I enjoyed it. And then also the cinematography is really cool. Again, I feel like this movie just kept it kind of simple. Like they added a couple of like slow motion shots in there, and I feel like it just kind of works. At least it did for me. And yeah, the salesman, the guy who played the salesman, he did a great job. He made me uncomfortable. He's creepy, but the way he shifted into anger is great. And then the leading actress who played the housewife, she really did go through some stuff. So it was really cool. So if you are looking for like an intense home invasion movie, yeah, I think that you should check this one out. The next thing I checked out, Ruin Me from 2017 on Shudder. I needed a fun slasher to watch. So this woman, she attends this slasher sleep out. It's like this extreme event that's a part, like part camping trip, part haunted house. And
interesting.
Part, yeah, escape room. But then it turns deadly. And they start to wonder, the campers, if this stuff is real. So pretty much she goes with her boyfriend. He is a huge horror fan. His friend couldn't go, so she decides to be a good girlfriend and go with him. There's another couple that's really into this stuff, and then two men who are huge horror fans. The one thing about this woman, she does have a trouble past. So just, you know, putting it out there. And you know what? Things are not what they seem. In a way where it's just like, again, they start to wonder if this experience with some of the stuff that is happening, if it is real or not. But then there's something else that goes on, but I don't want to spoil it. But I will say this, it does start off fun, then it gets pretty dark, but I really enjoyed this one. And sometimes you just need a fun, straightforward slasher, whodunit, wonder what's going to happen next kind of movie. And I feel like this one is it.
Would you buy tickets to an event like that?
No, because I watch a lot of horror movies. But at one point I did want to go to, I know they have that, this thing up in New Jersey for Friday the 13th where you can actually stay there.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
I was thinking about going at one point, but then I don't know. The horror fan in me is just like, you know what? No.
I would die.
No. Yeah, I would die. But they do have it where you don't have to spend the night. You could just be there for the day. So maybe
I saw this, I think it was over the weekend, but have you ever heard of the Myers house? It's like the Michael Myers house. And I guess they like, I think it's in North Carolina. Don't quote me on that, but they actually are now hosting events that are kind of reminding me of the Alamo Drafthouse Rolling Road Show, where they're going to different parts of the country. Well, even in Canada, and having screenings of the movies at the filming location. So like Monica, I think it's somewhere in the fall, but you can see the Lost Boys on the Santa Monica Pier. Ooh. Or I saw one where you could see like Urban Legend in Toronto in like the library room where like Robert Englund was having the class on the Pop Rocks, and they'll give you Pop Rocks and Pepsi while you're
I want to do like, that.
They have a whole series of this. Well, I'll have to find it and link it.
But I think I remember years and years ago, I think they did something like that with Clerks. Like they played it like on the roof of the original Quick Stop or something like that. That's so cool.
Yeah. I'm like, that sounds like a lot of fun. So I know that there's a bunch of horror ones. I think there's even some Children of the Corn stuff, you know, that made me think of you.
We have to go.
Except it's like, what else are you going to do? You're going to go all the way to, like, she is hugging her dress, I think. She's so excited for Children in the Corn.
I need to go.
Yeah. We're just here in Kansas or wherever it's from, just for Children in the Corn, part three.
I just like the idea that Xena would buy tickets to this event. And then at some point at night, they're like, all right, good night, everyone. Where's Xena? She's laying down in the ditch out there. She just keeps saying, just someone just get it over with.
I'm not going to lie. Ever since I was a kid and I used to really be into Children of the Corn franchise. We already know this. We had a discussion. I have a relationship, love-hate relationship with this franchise. But I've always been obsessed with corn and like cornfields. And I remember when I first moved to Florida, I saw like my first cornfield and I was losing my mind.
Oh, my gosh.
Apparently, you can't just go on people's property. I would love to take a picture. Or just take some corn. I don't know.
One day. This is the grown woman adult equivalent of that super adorable corn kid meme. We got to get the spoof of that. It's just corn. Yeah. I love horror corn.
He's not wrong.
But you're going to have to do the adult horror version.
We'll all go to an apple orchard. We'll do the corn maze.
Yeah.
There's a corn pit that's just filled with dried corn that the kids play in. It's good old
time. Oh, my God. Can you take some home?
I mean, you end up taking some home in your pockets whether you want to or not. You find stuff in your clothes for a while.
The queen of the cornfield, Xena.
All right, before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it? Well, I am listening to Hell House by Richard Matheson on Audible, and I watched 1987's Prince of Darkness on Tubi.
I watched Under the Skin on Max and Gretel and Hansel on Vudu.
I checked out Door on Screenbox and Ruin Me on Shudder.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken. To find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's been going on, Megan?
A whole bunch, because it was Super Bowl weekend. So there's a whole ton of trailers that I will go into precisely none of. So go to Bloody Disgusting if you are curious. Yeah. Like that bait and switch, guys. Instead, I'm going to talk about things like The Conjuring, which it was already, I guess, announced that they were doing another installment, but just that was it. I think for months it was, there's going to be a fourth eventually. Well, forward momentum is happening. They selected Michael Chavez for Conjuring 4. So he did The Nun 2 last summer, and then he did Conjuring 3. So they've selected him. They're bringing him back for part 4. And it is said to be the final installment in the main series. So Conjuring 4 will be the last of them. I'm sure they're going to just go crazy with the offshoots from here, but yeah, so it's supposed to be the last one. Plot details are being kept 6 feet under, typically. Yeah. But it is going to have Ed and Lorraine Warren. They'll face creaky doors, shadows, demons, crosses, all of that, I'm sure. As for what, who knows? There's a whole bunch of cases to pull from. But stars Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are expected to return. And it is eyeing a summer shoot in Atlanta, which suggests that they're far along here. I kind of suspect, it doesn't say, there's no official word on this yet, but I suspect that it's because Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are part, they're intrinsically tied to the main series, why this is the last one, because I can't imagine they're going to keep signing up for Conjuring Part 8. James Wan and Peter Safran are back to produce, and David Leslie Golden, or sorry, David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick wrote the screenplay for the fourth movie, also wrote The Conjuring 2, and a few other horror movies. I feel like he might have also been a co-writer on Orphan, the sequel. Major Conjuring news right there. And then that's not the only franchise to have some major news. The Evil Dead franchise is definitely coming back with a new movie. Mm-hmm. And it is not going to be Evil Dead Rise, the sequel. I think it's going to be like a brand new untitled spinoff movie. But what's interesting is they've enlisted French filmmaker Sebastian Vanacek to direct. Nobody knows who he is yet, except for the lucky few at festivals. I haven't seen it yet, who have seen his movie Infested, which will be coming to, I believe, Shudder in April. And that one is a spider invasion movie in an apartment building that is kind of described as like Arachnophobia meets Attack the Block, which sounds amazing. Ooh. Everybody's gushing about this movie, so I've been excited. So it's very intriguing that that's who they are enlisting to direct. So obviously we don't know anything yet about what this movie is going to be about or entail, but there was a recent interview with the filmmaker at a awards event reported by Konbini that he gave some quotes that are very intriguing. He said, "I told the studio that I wanted to make a nasty film, a film that hurts. From which you come away tested. I'm going to put all of the horror I have inside. It'll be cathartic. And if I haven't ruined my career and I can continue make films behind it, I will move on to something other than horror." So what else can you maybe expect? He notes in the same interview, "If all goes well, we could start filming at the end of 2024, beginning of 2025 for a, I hope, Halloween 2025 release." He also mentions that Sam Raimi and company are giving him 100% creative freedom to play inside the Evil Dead sandbox, and that he aims for the film to have a French twist. And if by French twist he means extreme, that probably fits Evil Dead well. Yeah.
I'm sold.
Yeah,
I think he's going to do a great job.
Give me the spider movie. I want the spider movie. I'm very excited for that. And then this is actually news that popped up a couple weeks ago, but I felt like it was relevant and worth mentioning, which is David F. Sandberg, he did the Shazam movies. He did Lights Out. He did a bunch of horror shorts before that. And then he kind of got sucked away into DC land. And now that he's free, he's coming back to horror. And he's coming back to horror with an Until Dawn feature adaptation. The Until Dawn, I know we've talked about it, but it's been a long time. And I can't remember, Zena, if you played or that was one you wanted to play.
I played.
You did play it? Did you like it?
I loved
it. Yeah. So that's one that I think a lot of horror fans, they kind of dabble in games and they play that one and it's amazing. And it's a choose your own adventure. That game, I think it was 2014 that came out, and it was a choose your own adventure. Larry Fessenden had an appearance in it, but he also co-wrote it, and it had the script for that had to be massive because it's like a 10-hour game and it's a bunch of people in a cabin we can get away, but there's a few different threats, and what your actions do may or may not kill them as the game unfolds. So it's very interesting to see how this is going to get a feature adaptation to condense it down. It also had a really good cast, that game, like Hayden Panettiere, Rami Malek, a whole bunch of people. So yeah, he is not only coming back to horror, but with a very ambitious adaptation of a beloved video game. And I'm very curious and kind of excited to see what he does.
Me too. I'm just happy that he's coming back to horror. Over here.
I know.
All right, listeners, your turn. Will any Conjuring movie end with a card that says, "Just kidding, they made all this up"? Is the Evil Dead series prepared for the levels of messed up the French horror scene brings to the plate? You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bediscussingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
So first up on Tuesday, the 13th, so this will be out by this episode, before this episode's out, obviously, The Bloody Galentine. This will be available on Tubi. When three women plot revenge on their exes after they are dumped before Valentine's Day, their attempts to get even turns deadly. Then cell phone, Wen, who's grieving the death of her fiancé, starts seeing disturbing images on her cell phone about her future. Then we have Ghost Rider. This will be available on VOD. A struggling author plagiarizes his deceased father's undiscovered last novel, unleashing the demons of his dad's past. Then Double Blind. This will also be on VOD. After an experiment drug trial goes wrong, the test subjects face a terrifying side effect. If you fall asleep, you die. I'm sorry. That's not funny, but that's insane. That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Then Alice in Terrorland, this will be available on DVD. A recently bereaved teenage girl goes to live with her grandmother in a secluded woodland house, unaware that sinister forces lurk within. And then on Wednesday the 14th, Stranger in the Woods, a woman goes on a weekend getaway trip in the woods with her friends in hopes to recover from a traumatic event. But when her dog vanishes, their sanity unravels, leading to a chilling fight for survival. Then on Friday the 16th, No Way Up, this will be available on VOD, trapped underwater when their plane crashes into the ocean. Survivors must find a way to escape as sharks start to circle the wreckage. Then Monolith, this will also be on VOD. A headstrong journalist whose investigative podcast uncovers a strange artifact, an alien conspiracy, and the lies at the heart of her own story. And then finally, Screenbox is available. There are so many movies on there for you to check out.
So many. Go check them out. And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on our own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out all things Bloody Disgusting on TikTok at BeDisgusting. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, watch something you love, just make sure it's something bloody. Happy Halloween! Oh, Valentine's Day. I don't care.